Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. Hello, John Paul.
Hello, Ben.
I mixed it up this week, and
you didn't set me up for a yo.
There was no room for a yo. John Paul, as usual, with us in the studio today.
Yo.
There we go. That feels more natural. You've been listening for a while. You were waiting for the yo, and we mixed it up on you.
I was waiting for it.
We want to remind you, head over to iTunes, leave a positive rating and review. Or, man, you know what? Negative if you hate us and want us to get better.
Listen, you don't hate us. You know you don't hate us. Just stop. Just stop right there. You love us, and we love you.
We do. There's mutual love. Uh-huh. But seriously, tell us how we can get better. If there are topics that we can cover that you'd like to hear about, then, man, we would love to know those, and we'll get them in the rotation of the topics that we talk about, because this podcast is for you, the student ministry leader. So leave that rating and review if you haven't yet, and we would love to see your thoughts. Podcast is brought to you by the Student Pastor Network. Find out more at studentpastornetwork.com, the premier training and development tool focused on you, the student pastor. Well, we have a great topic for you today. We're going to be talking about Generation Z.
And so,
millennials have moved in large part out of your student ministry. I hope you know that. They are invading colleges everywhere.
More than likely, you are the millennial.
Yeah, there are a lot of millennials that listen to the podcast, for sure. I am not one. I am an Xer.
Just outside the bubble.
Just outside. But we are going to be talking about Generation Z, the people that are filling your student ministries or in your student ministries now, born 1995 and after. So that's kind of this generation. Born 1995 and after. I graduated high school in 1996. So, you know, as you get older, there are moments where you really start to feel old. And when you start to have this kind of conversation where you're talking about people that were born like around the time you graduated high school, that's one of those moments. But that's okay. We're going to move on from that. Born 1995 and after. And here's what I think kind of defines this generation in part. Not in whole, but in part, because as you're going to see as we talk about things throughout this podcast, a lot of it flows from this one fact, and it is that they are the first truly mobile generation, right? And so there are some in the millennial that would claim that title, but because of the years that they were born, millennials can't truly claim that title because some of them, you know, half of that generation grew up in the 80s. Before being online was something that every single person did.
That's me.
Yeah. So this generation, Generation Z, the ones that are sitting in your small groups and in your worship services and the ones that you're trying to reach that are not yet at your church, they are the first truly mobile generations.
So if you remember the dial-up sound, you can't have the title.
No, that's true. The old AOL, like that one.
Yeah.
Like if we had a sound effect machine, it would be really awesome to put that in, but we do it all with our mouths here. So this is what we do.
High quality from the Dave McNeil Memorial Podcast Studio today.
That's right. That's where we're podcasting from today. So how does this first truly mobile generation, like how does that flow out? So like one practical thing, and producer Nathan and I were talking about this before we started. Anytime we can give Nathan a shout out, we want to do that.
I like that your first name
is producer
is
Nathan.
Producer.
Yeah,
last name Nathan.
Eventually, it's just going to be shortened to
Prod Nath
Pro. But we were talking about how like I'll have something on TV, and there will be a lot of times where I'll have something on TV, and then my phone is in my hand. And I'm doing something there or looking something up, or I'm on my computer either working or looking something up non-work related. There are a lot of times where I'm dual screen, where I have different things happening at the same time on my screens. And what's amazing, that's just two, but what's amazing about that is that Gen Zers on average use 5 screens at a time.
It's unreal.
Like I can't even...
Smartphone. So here's what qualifies those 5 screens.
Yeah.
A smartphone, TV, laptop, desktop, iPad, iPod, any of those combos.
Yeah.
Kindle.
Right. So literally, like here's what, and this has incredible implications for how you prepare your messages, how you structure your small group environment, maybe what the kinds of rules of engagement that you allow your students to have as a part of your ministry, the kinds of media that you use as you plan your events and things like that. This has huge implications for all those things, because the people that are sitting there listening to your 35 or 40 minute sermon on their own time, they have the TV on, they're playing a video game, they have music going through another device or Netflix running through their iPad, and they're Snapchatting on their phone at the same time. And they're doing all of this simultaneously. And somehow, because they've grown up in that environment, they're able to process information that's coming in from every one of those devices at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny to see some of the interns that'll come in and work here at Lifeway.
Yeah.
You walk by, and I mean, the first several times that I saw this, I got frustrated, you know, but part of it is learning what this generation is used to. But it would kind of rile me up when I would walk by and one screen is on an Excel sheet, the other screen is on Netflix watching West Wing. And then, there's a YouTube video playing on a phone where they're scrolling through their, or on a social media feed or whatever. It's like, hey, are you doing work? You know what you're here for?
Yeah.
But they are.
They are working.
They're working.
Yeah. And you can see that because the work that they turn in is still done well, and they're still producing what they're supposed to do.
They're just able to do it in the noise.
Yeah. Which is way different from me. And I would guess way different from many of you that lead student ministries. Personally, like, I've gone to war in my head about this, because there are still environments where, like, we go out and preach, and my own student ministries that I've led, and places that we've led together, we haven't really liked students being on their phone to use their Bible app when we've preached, because it's so easy to switch over to something else and lose attention.
Right.
And personally, like, I don't do that because I will be so tempted to switch over and look at something else, and I won't be able to pay attention to what's going on at the same time. And so, like, I've warred about, because I think there's a value of having a student know how to navigate the Bible in their hands and be able
to... Paper copy of the Bible.
Yeah, to be able to flip to a book of the Bible and to be able to study the Bible rather than swipe to it. Like, I think there's a value. Like, I want my own kids to be able to know the order of the books of the Bible and to be able to find it in a paper Bible versus just picking the book's name and tapping the screen. I think there's value in that. But at the same time, what I war against in my head is, but this generation is used to processing information mobily. And if it's still the Bible, if the text is the same, then why make such a big deal about them using it to follow along with the message or in a small group or in a discipleship environment? So the battle is the value of knowing the paper Bible versus am I now the old guy in the room that's like, put that phone away. This isn't what we're meant to do. You know, like, have I turned into that guy?
Because it's a great old guy.
Thank you. The word of God is the word of God, right?
Right.
And so at some point were they like, man, these aren't rock tablets anymore. You're using papyrus. Like, how dare you go papyrus on me? I don't know. I wasn't there. What do you think? What's the war look like for you? Do you battle that same thing, or is it just me?
I do. I battle it. And like you, I'm used to saying, hey, turn off your phones and tune in.
Yeah.
But you can't. I mean, most of the students that I preach to now haven't come with a paper copy of the Bible.
Right.
Which, student pastors, maybe is something you should begin to encourage.
Yeah, have some Bibles there to give them or encourage them to get their own. But, I mean, I think you bring a great point. You'd rather them have some Bible than no Bible.
Right. So I do think it's important still to have that conversation at the beginning that, hey, let's make a commitment together. I did that just a couple of weekends ago at a Disciple Now at the very beginning. Let's make a commitment to dig into this. So
yeah.
I know most of you are going to be reading on your phones. What I need you to commit to me to do is to dig into this.
Yeah.
And ask your friends and commit to your friends not to distract each other while we're doing this. But I think we just have to accept that students are going to be taking in scripture electronically. more and more. I mean, I was even with in a writer's conference with an author that was asking about our new CSB Bible translation.
Yeah.
That released yesterday, by the way.
At the time of this recording.
We were super stoked. But he said, hey, is it on YouVersion yet? And we told him it will be upon release. And he said, that's good because that's the only place that I take in scripture.
Really?
Is on YouVersion.
Wow.
Because he said, I always have my phone with me. It's in my pocket. You know, yeah. I never go anywhere without it. So that's the only place that I'll read scripture. So that's where I need the CSB to live.
Man, it's so different. But again, like, I think we have to go back to God's word is God's word. And we want God's word to go forth, right?
Yep.
So like in a mission environment, we would have no problem with, so one of the strategies that missionaries will often use is having audio of the Bible or the book of John or something like that, that they will distribute with solar-powered audio players, solar-powered MP3 players that is preloaded with God's word said audibly in their language. Maybe the language isn't written. Maybe it hasn't been translated fully in the language of the people group that missionaries are going to. And we have no problem with that, right? Like, it's never crossed my mind that, like, well, this isn't the written word, so it's not the same. And I think we have to begin thinking that way. We have to begin thinking missionally about Generation Z and what's the best way for us to get God's word into their hand. Now, listen, I'm always going to have the internal struggle, but I can't allow my internal struggles to keep me from reaching this generation where they are.
Yeah.
And perhaps moving them from where they are to a place that is valuable as well.
Yeah, so I think part of it is understanding who they are and how they tick, how they work, what the world around them that they're interacting in is telling them and leading them to. That, I mean, that's just part of knowing the context of the people that you're communicating to and doing ministry with, which is a huge deal. And then the other part is understanding the downsides and the dangers of that culture and helping them see what God has called them to. So I think there's an important responsibility that we have to move them to healthy habits.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, I mean, like, we've got some research here that says 79% of Generation Z consumers display symptoms of emotional distress when kept away from their personal electronic devices. So part of me wants to just go, you know, drill sergeant on them and say, you know, put them down, you bunch of crybabies, get over it, you know. But that's something that we legitimately have to consider as ministers to students today.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're talking about nearly 8 out of 10 that when you take their device away, there's an emotional reaction to that. Man, that really determines how we minister. And, you know, I think it follows a thread from there too, where you know, my wife had a conversation with her 12th grade girls. She teaches 12th grade girls at our church about cell phones and, like, what are you guys seeing? What happens in high school? And what do you see from middle school? Because they have one of the programs in our schools here is they'll have older high school girls go and talk to middle schoolers about cell phones and bullying, cyberbullying, and this whole idea and self image and all that. And so the way that they talk about how social media is used for bullying, like, it's not just a random case. It happens all the time. Even as subtly as a group of friends that go to do something and leave somebody out, like, they'll intentionally take a picture and Instagram the group selfie and post it, knowing that this person who wasn't invited will see it.
Yep.
So it's not even just this overt cyberbullying that we often hear about in student ministry world. There's a subversive culture of identity attack, really, that's going on through these mediums. And I think that maybe, you know, the research that we have doesn't really dive into that as part of the nearly 8 out of 10 that have an emotional response when you take away their devices. But I bet that plays into it, because they want to know if they're being left out. They want to know what's going on. They feel when they don't have it, they feel like, what am I missing out on?
Yep.
There's this whole process internally that is wrapped up. Like if we draw a straight line to student ministry and say, what's the application? Man, they're getting their identity foundation and structure built by what they see and what they're a part of in social media and what they're not a part of.
Yeah, and I think there's also the idea that there's never rest in the lives of these students. Mm. It's always moving forward, always the next thing. What's somebody saying? What's somebody doing? What should I be a part of? What, like you were saying, what am I missing out on? And there's literally not a time to disconnect from all of that, which we know in Scripture is incredibly important.
Yeah.
To step away from everything and allow the Lord to sift you and encourage you and whatever else he needs to do, but for us to spend time with him. Lives are too busy today.
Yeah.
Students' lives are too busy. They're too full for them to understand what it looks like to settle in and spend time with the Lord.
Yeah, man, that's so good. We've lost that discipline in our culture. You know, Richard Foster in his Celebration of Discipline book, which is one of the great spirits, like his and Whitney's spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. Like those two are staple, like spiritual discipline book. And Foster talks about the discipline of silence and solitude. And that is something that this generation does not know. But to what we said earlier, meeting them where they are and taking them somewhere to where we know they need to be and need to experience is part of that discipleship process of this generation. Just as a side note, we're not going to be able in one podcast to fully diagnose all of Generation Z, but we do have several things that we talked about and several things that we'll point to the rest of the podcast that we think has direct application. So one of the things we've been talking about is identity and helping them have that identity in Christ instead of all of the information that they take in and the things they're a part of on social media. So here's another interesting one. The average Gen Zer has the attention span of about 8 seconds.
Like a goldfish.
Yeah. And the same time that you must stay on the bowl to get points in bull riding.
Hey, well, that makes that 8 seconds a whole lot more significant.
Yeah.
Goldfish is kind of slap in the face. But 8 seconds on the bull is a big deal.
Yeah. You got to ride him. There's a movie, 8 seconds, it's pretty cool. Like you go back and... It's a movie recommendation from the Lifeway Student Podcast today.
Yeah. Can that be an official recommendation?
I don't know. I was just thinking in my head, like it's been a long time since I've seen it. So I hope the content of it, it's been a really long time. But anyway, it's a pretty cool movie. So 8 seconds, either the goldfish or riding a bull. And I think that the polar opposites of those two things, like one is a slap in the face and one is like, man, I couldn't do that. That defines what's going on with this statistic. Because when we first hear it, we go, man, these people are stupid. But really, that's not what this statistic is saying. So here's the full description. It goes on to say this. They have grown up in a time where they're being served media and messaging from all angles. So go back to the 5 devices happening all at once. And they've adapted to quickly sorting through and assessing enormous amounts of information all at once. So yes, like we would love for their attention spans to be longer, but because they've grown up constantly taking in enormous amounts of information, they're able to process that information more quickly. And what they're doing is processing in that 8 seconds and then deciding, am I going to give more attention to this?
Right.
Like, is this worth it for me to hang in with and then devote more of my time? So I think there is this dual purpose of this statistic. One, man, it's a valuable tool to be able to take in all these sources of information, process it quickly, and then say, okay, I value this one. I'm going to devote more time to it. And they will. When they something I think that's great about this generation is when they choose to value something, they're all in with it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in their attitudes towards serving. But if they don't find value in it, they're gone in the snap of a finger.
Yep.
And so for student ministry leading, like, man, that's a great piece of information for you to have as you prepare, as you train your leaders, as you develop the strategy for your ministry.
Yeah, so you better not slouch in your sermon prep, because in the first 8 seconds, if they're not hooked, they're out.
Yeah.
That Bible app's going straight to YouTube.
What a frightening thought. Like, I go back and I try to think about the first 8 seconds of messages that I've preached, and more often than not, it's, and I don't think this is bad, so, and I will still do this, but more often than not, the first 8 seconds is, hey, grab your Bible, turn to. Because I want the first thing that comes, like, that's a strategic decision on my part. Like, I want the first thing that comes out of my mouth not to be, hey, remember that time I went to the circus? Like, I don't want to, I want to start with,
I don't think we were with you then.
Yeah, exactly. So I want the first thing to be turning your Bibles too.
Well, hey, if the first 8 seconds are devoted to the Lord speaking through his word, that's a good 8 seconds. Well, at least the last four of those eight.
Yeah, well, it's better than cotton candy being spread all over your face. That's
yes. Have you ever had cotton candy spread all over? Can cotton candy spread on your face?
Well, I just was going with something that attached to a circus. So I don't know anything about the spreadability of cotton candy, but I would imagine, like, if you stuck your head down in that twirly bowl of sugary goodness.
Oh, yeah, it'd stick there.
It'd stick for sure. Your hair'd come out looking like a troll.
So here's something that we know about.
New trolls.
About Generation Z.
Not Z-ers. Lord of the Rings trolls. They're different.
They are. Do the Lord of the Ring ones hide under bridges? Like the traditional trolls?
No, they don't. They're averse to sunlight. They're in caves, mainly. They're large.
So they've graduated from hiding under bridges and protecting waterways.
Yeah, I think so for the most part. And then you go into your video game trolls, like World of Warcraft, and they have long tusks and are kind of like island people.
Like Rastafarian trolls?
Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
So there's a conversation starter for your Generation Zers there.
Yeah, and if you are a Generation Zer listening to this, then we've passed your 8 seconds and you've probably checked out. So
we were talking about how when they do decide to plug into something,
yeah,
they'll stick with it. And so an interesting thing that producer Nathan found for us as he was doing some research for this podcast is that Gen Zers are do-gooders. They want to make a difference in the world. So the research says 60% want their jobs to impact the world. 26% of 16 to 19-year-olds currently volunteer, which blows my... I didn't volunteer for anything.
No.
Except, like, eating brownies.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to try this first brownie and see if it's good? I do. That's the only thing I volunteered for. You want me to volunteer to do some work? I'm like, dang, where's my paycheck? I'm a millennial, entitled to everything that I want and need.
You got to get paid.
75% are concerned about humanity's impact on the planet.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Man, going along with that, you know, we've seen movies, books, young adult fiction like The Hunger Games and Divergent. It all speaks to that. It all speaks to this idea of something is wrong with the world and I've got to do something about it. And there's almost this, like, if you take those two as examples, there's almost like this reluctant superhero mindset in this generation. It's like, okay, is anybody else going to do this? Anybody stepping forward? All right, I'll go change the world. You know, like there's almost that kind of mindset where it's, you know, they're not jumping out first in the line and saying, okay, I want to, but it's inherently built in them that the world is broken and I want to do something about it. And if nobody else is going to do it, like, and their mindset really is, man, the millennial generation was, and they may not voice it this way, but the millennial generation was so self-centered. They weren't able to fix it. The generations before them, like Xers, like didn't even care. It's like whatever. And then the generation before that is like, man, this American dream idea and that American dream didn't work. So all of these things haven't worked. So I'm just going to go out here and fix it for everybody. But it's almost this reluctance to it. And here's the thing that I think is important that student ministries have to understand here is that this idea is not gospel centered in its seedling stage.
Yeah.
Like it starts with this I've got to go serve and I care about the world and I'm going to go do these things. But the job of the student ministry in this in this piece is to take that mindset and say, okay, here's what we're really called to do. Like, putting shoes on people and bringing awareness to sex trafficking, like, all those things are good, but that's not missional. That's helping. And we should help. But as the church, as the people of God, student ministries should disciple Generation Z in this area by helping them connect their desire to serve and change the world with the only thing that really can change the world. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think something to, a place to operate from is not frustration about the fact that they are living such busy lives, living such loud lives, so many influences, so many voices that they're always taking in. But to understand that they're listening to all these voices because they're looking desperately for an answer that's going to fix what they see is broken.
Right.
So I would say that Generation Z is starting from a much more workable place than the millennial generation was. Because
yeah.
The millennials just, I want what I want, and I want it now. And Generation Z is saying, I'm ready to serve the rest of the world. I'm ready to fix this thing. It is broke down, and I'm tired of it. So 100% agree. Their motivations aren't gospel-centered, but they're in a great place to be contextualized and molded by the gospel.
Totally. It's the difference between directing passion versus totally changing a passion.
Yeah.
And man, I would much rather direct passion. And that's where they are. They already want to be involved. So helping them understand that as a follower of Jesus, being really involved means doing these things that are helpful and bring awareness, but at the same time, using those platforms to point people to Jesus. Like, let's not stop with just fulfilling needs. Let's take the extra step to talk about Jesus, to point people to God's word, all of those things. And man, you're going to find a generation of people that is interested in that. So here's another really important factor for student ministries to consider. 42% of Gen Zers follow their parents' influence, compared to just 36% of millennials. So what we're seeing is a rise in this generation compared to the one before it in students listening to their parents and having and actually behaving according to their parents' influence. So this can have dangerous consequences, or it could be a significant discipling influence. So students in your ministry, Generation Z, middle schoolers and high schoolers, are listening to their parents more than the generation before them did. So that puts even more of a spotlight on what you're doing in your ministry to assist and train and disciple parents.
Yeah, and you might be thinking, well, 36% to 42% doesn't seem to be moving the needle very much. What does this say? Generation Z makes up for what percentage? Like a quarter of our population right now?
Yes, 1/4 of America's population currently belongs to Gen Z.
So almost 1/8 of our total population right now is listening to their parents,
yeah,
listening to what they have to say.
Yeah, half of the quarter.
Looking to them for instruction, looking to them for guidance, which is a huge deal because as a student pastor, we're always trying to figure out, how do we reach parents and how do we teach parents how to disciple their kids?
Yeah.
Now you've got some research that says, hey, they're listening.
Right.
You know, this is a worthy endeavor. They're looking to their parents for guidance.
Yeah, which is a huge stat, not only for you to know, but for your parents to know, because I think the default feeling of many parents and possibly the reason why parents don't jump in and serve in student ministry as often as we would like to see is because they have the feeling of my students don't want to hear what I have to say. Like, they don't want me around. They don't want me to pour into them in that way. That's what you're for. But this generation doesn't believe that at all.
No.
I mean, 42%. When you think of the total, and this is what you were saying, when you think of the total number of people that affects, it's a large amount of people.
Well, and you have to think about the parental perspective. They are probably also speaking from their own experience. I didn't care they're probably saying, I didn't care to hear what my parents had to say. And they're reflecting that on their students. Surely they don't care because I didn't. But this generation is not the same.
Yeah.
So part of this is coaching. Part of this is sharing with them, listen, the needle is moving here. And this generation is listening to you. So you do have a voice in your home that you need to own.
Yeah.
That could be a very empowering thing for parents.
Yeah, it can and should be. And this is one of those things that shouting from the rooftop, so to speak, of your ministry is important for you to do so that they know that you make your parents aware of this reality. Well, that will wrap up our Generation Z conversation for today. Man, there's so much that we can learn. And I want to challenge you again. This is just one very, very small slice of some things that we pulled out and said, hey, here are some direct applications for student ministries based on what we're seeing in Generation Z. There's still a ton of research going on this generation. And I would challenge you. One of the things that you must do as a student pastor is know the generation that you are ministering to, that you are trying to lead to Jesus, that you are trying to disciple. And so if you're not doing research on the generation in which you're serving, man, I challenge you to go out, buy some books, get online, search, learn as much as you can about Generation Z. There is a wealth of information out there. So head out, find it, look for it, learn the generation in which you serve, and we will see you next time on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.
Goodbye.